Thank you, Gary. I appreciate the prayer. Gary has actually read more of this psalm than I have, because he said he's read 177 verses, and I've only read 176. So we have a president here that believes in a little bit of extra biblical revelation. Jimmy Street will have a birthday on July 11th. That's the same date as my birthday. We're both named Street. He's one T short. Yes, his name's in the dictionary and mine is not in the dictionary, that's for sure. But you know, Vernon Anderson is going to be 100 years old on July the 18th. Can you believe that? So where's Modena? She made it here today. You're not too far behind him, are you, Modena? Well, that's going to be an exciting day. I always say that Vernon said this in the past, and I still believe it. I've thought it all this week, is that Vernon is my hero. Because my goal is to live to be 103. Yeah, and I'm going for it. But I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm 103 already. But anyway, that's my goal. 91. Leroy went like that. He didn't like that. But anyway. Okay, well, let's look at Psalm 119. Very long psalm. But then I want to give you some encouragement before we get into the psalm, okay? I want you to look at Psalm 120. Now, Psalm 120 is only 7 verses. Psalm 121 is 8 verses. 122, 9 verses. 123, 4 verses. And you go right through all the way to Psalm 134. Now, over each one of these psalms is a superscription. Look at that. Psalm 120, a song of ascents. Do you see that? Look at 121, a song of ascents. Look at 122, 123, all the way down to 134, a song of ascents. So once we get past 119, we're going to be into the songs of ascents. And an ascent, it means that you're going up in a direction. And because Jerusalem was the highest point in Israel, didn't matter whether somebody was traveling to Jerusalem from Galilee, which is way up north, you always said, we're going up to Jerusalem, because you were going up as far as sea level's concerned. So it didn't matter whether you were actually coming down from the north to the south. If you were going to Jerusalem, you always went up. And these are psalms that were sung as people were ascending to Jerusalem during the three pilgrim feasts, okay? And you'll notice also on those songs of ascent that four of those are written by David. You see that in 122. Notice it says Song of Ascent of David. You see it over in 124, Song of Ascent of David. You say, Street, why are you taking so much time doing this when we have 176 verses to deal with? I want to show this to you. Song of Ascent in 131, and you also see that of David in 133. 127, you'll notice that Solomon wrote that. You see that? So that's where we're going to be going. But right now we are in Psalm 119, which consists of 176 verses, and it's essentially a prayer. The whole thing is a prayer. And it's a prayer in which the psalmist asks God to help him and protect him. And in return, the psalmist promises to obey God's word and to serve the Lord faithfully. So that's the nature of Psalm 119. It's a prayer. Now, if you read it aloud, it takes 15 minutes. So it's not that long by reading it aloud, even though it's the longest psalm in the Bible. And we are going to read it aloud. Okay? But before we do it, and before we can understand what it says, I need to give you some insights. We need to gain some insights about it so that when you read it, it begins to make sense. So let me give you some of those insights. The first thing I want you to notice, these will be some observations. You'll notice that Psalm 119 is divided into 22 equal sections, or what we call stanzas, because the psalm not only was a prayer, but after the psalmist prayed this to God, he turned it basically into a song. So it has 22 equal stanzas of 8 verses each. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you'll notice that each stanza has a Hebrew letter over top of it. Okay, and each stanza begins, the first word of each stanza begins with a different Hebrew letter. For example, you'll see in verse 1, you see Aleph. In verse 2, you see Bet. In verse 3, you see Gimel. In verse 17, this is the third section. The fourth section, Daleth. Look, the fifth section, He. You see those Hebrew letters over each section? There are 22 Hebrew letters. There are 22 sections. The first word in each section begins with that particular Hebrew letter. The psalmist most likely arranges the psalm in this way for memory purposes. There are people that have undertaken to memorize this entire psalm word for word. William Wilberforce, the great member of parliament and social reformer in Great Britain, had this entire psalm memorized. And in his diary, he tells how he went from parliament and left his house, walked through a park as he was going to parliament in this time of a crisis, and would constantly repeat this entire psalm. At that 15-minute walk, he would repeat the entire psalm each day. And David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, had this psalm memorized. Now, there was a day, and it was before my time, but there was a day when people could memorize long passages. My father had memorized the story of the ancient mariner. There was an ancient mariner who, you know, lived by a sea or something. He knew the whole thing. And Lynn's grandmother could just remember long passages, and her grandfather, long passages of poetry and stories. And it amazed me, but Spurgeon said that this psalm should be memorized by every Christian. It's that important. And it offers that much hope. I'm thinking of songs that we memorize now that are long. Back in the 70s, some of you remember this, Don McLean wrote a song, American Pie, The Day the Music Died. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. What's the next part? Drum a Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. You know. So good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. Oh, this will be the day that I die. You know, so memorize the whole thing. The song was the longest song, rock song, that was written up until that time. It aired on radio stations, and they had to determine whether they were going to play this song or not, because it took 9.5 minutes. And you know, radio operated at that time on commercials, right? That's how, and they still do. They had to sell commercial time, and this was going to be a time where 3.5 or 4 songs could have been played and 3 or 4 commercials could have been played in that time. And so, but it made number one. It caught on and it made number one, and it was number one for 4 weeks. So I think the arrangement here is that the psalm is arranged in a way that it would be memorized. Now, the central focus on the psalm is the scriptures, okay? And I want to show you this, okay? The psalm uses 8 different words to describe the scriptures. Okay? Look at verse 1 in Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the, look at the word number 1, the law of the Lord. The first way the psalmist describes the scriptures is law. Okay? Keep on reading. Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his what? Testimonies, that's the second word that he uses for scriptures. Keep on reading. Look down at verse 4. You've commanded us to keep your, look, precepts. That's the third word. Okay. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. See? Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I took into when I look into all your commandments. That's the fifth word. The sixth word for his scriptures is found in verse 6. When I learn your righteous judgments, The word judgments represents the scriptures. And then verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your what? Word. That's the seventh term used to describe the scriptures. And the eighth term is found over in verse 43. At the end of verse 43. For I have hoped in your ordinances. Eight terms that the psalmist uses to describe the scriptures. Okay, the scriptures that he's describing are those scriptures found in the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That would include the Ten Commandments. That would include God's scriptures and God's commandments, his covenant commandments. It would include all 613 commandments that the Jews were required to keep, found in the first five books. So this psalm focuses on those scriptures. Okay, so that's important that you get that. Next thing I want you to notice is that God's name appears 24 times in this psalm. Now let me just give you an example. Look over at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the what? Lord. You see that? Look at verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Verse 12, rather. Blessed are you, O, look, Lord. You see that? Look down at verse 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. You see that? Look at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord. Look at verse 52. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord. Now, what do you notice about God's name in each one of these cases? It's the capital Lord, right? Capital O, capital L, capital O-R-D. It's God's covenant name, his intimate name. When he wants to reveal what he's like, what his character is, he uses this word, Jehovah or Yahweh, which is translated in our Bibles, Lord. Okay, so he's speaking of his relationship with people. So this is an intimate name that God uses to reveal himself to his people. That's the name the psalmist uses. You'll also notice that there are several famous verses in this psalm. Look at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. That's some verse that many of us know. Verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's a very famous scripture. Look down at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Look down at verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. These are just a few examples. Now, these are famous verses, often quoted, but guess what? They have no meaning whatsoever if they stand by themselves. In order for us to know what they mean, what do we need? Context, see? So we will be going through this psalm, and we will be finding the context. The author of the psalm is not listed, so we do not know who wrote it. Now, Charles Spurgeon, who was a famous British preacher of the 19th century, thinks it's the Psalm of David. And he gives all kinds of reasons. I showed Lynn Spurgeon's commentary on Psalm 119. And the commentary, I forget how many pages it was, but it was somewhere like on the one psalm, he spent 245 pages expositing this psalm, trying to explain what it meant. And the edition I have is such small print. It would have taken, so it would be equal to about like 1,000 pages in normal print. I mean, it was print the size of an ant. You could hardly read it. And I usually read Spurgeon's commentary on every psalm, but usually they're only about 20 pages long. And I have to let you know, I did not read what Spurgeon had to say on this psalm. It just wore me out, okay? We don't know who the author is, but we do know something about his circumstances. Now, I've read this psalm probably 5 or 6 times this week, okay? And I hate to admit it, I read it again in church this morning. I do have an ability, though, to read with my eyes and have understanding, and at the same time, hear what the pastor says and understand what he says. That's because I'm a child of my age, and I always did my homework in front of the television, so that is not difficult for me whatsoever to do that. And if you were one of those kinds of kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody like that? There's a few of you. That's why our grades were about a D plus or a C minus throughout school. But anyway, but we do understand something about this psalmist. First of all, he understands the covenant. He understands those words that God put in the covenant, his contract with Israel, what was required of them and what God would do in return if they obeyed him. He is very cognizant of that, okay, those scriptures. We can't tell entirely whether he always obeyed those scriptures, the covenant, and slipped occasionally, or whether he actually strayed far away from the Lord. We do think he strayed from the Lord, and I'll show you that in a second. And he gets himself into trouble, and you'll see that he's in trouble in this psalm. And when he gets himself into trouble, he cries out to God and says, "Help, get me out of the trouble." And he promises that if God does get him out of the trouble, he will faithfully keep the covenant. He will keep God's word, okay? So let me just show you, give you a clue or two of that this is indeed the case. If you look over at verse 8, look what he says. "I will keep your statutes," okay? "Oh, do not forsake me utterly." You see that? Obviously, guess what? God sort of turned his back on him for a while, and he says, "Don't forsake me utterly." And if you look at the last verse of the psalm, 176, look what he says. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your covenant." So here's a guy who has gone astray. He knows the truth. He's kept it most of his life. Maybe he's just slipped and he's gone astray. But in any case, he's gotten himself in trouble. He cries out to God for help and says, "Oh Lord, just get me out of this and I will keep your word forever." Does that make sense? So that's the background. So you know the eight words that are used for the law or for the scriptures. Every time you see that, just think of the word scripture. Okay? You know what the setting is. Let's read the psalm. And then we'll do some summary. So we're at Psalm 119, verse 1. Aleph. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart." Now, when you see that, that should make you remember Psalm 1. Now, if you were with us about 9 years ago, I told you Psalm 1 was sort of explained a lot of the other Psalms. How does Psalm 1 begin? "Blessed is the man that" what? "Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Look, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." See, in the way, that's the same as Psalm 1. "Who walk in the way of the Lord," that's Jehovah God. "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies," that's his scripture, his covenant law, "who seek him with their" what? "Whole heart." That's who he blesses. "They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed." Well, evidently he has been ashamed, hasn't he? He must have failed, see? That's why you need to realize the mess that this guy's found himself in. "When I look into your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." Bet. Second section. How can a young man cleanse his ways? Obviously, he must need to be cleansed, right? He wouldn't be saying that. "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. and obviously not totally in the past, but he certainly is now. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, Jehovah. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate, notice this promise, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. Promise number two, I will not forget your word. So here's a guy evidently who's got himself in trouble and he's making some promises. Maybe he's already returned to the Lord in some ways and he's starting to keep the commandments. Gimel, third Hebrew section, letter and section. Deal bountifully with your servant. Why? That I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes. To what end? That I might see wondrous things from your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments all the time. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Now, I think this guy's fallen away from the testimonies, but he's come back, and now he's asking God to remove the reproach. You see that? Verse 23, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes, probably since his return. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Daleth, fourth section. My soul clings to the dust. You know what that means, don't you? I'm about ready to die. Okay, so that's what that means. My soul clings to the dust. Doesn't mean my soul like an immaterial soul. It just means me. I'm clinging to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I've declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. To what end? So that I shall meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Notice he's in trouble. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. And evidently there are people who are lying against him. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, your scriptures. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Heh. Next section. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Notice he asked God to teach him. It's like he doesn't totally understand the covenant in some ways. He needs to have more interpretation and clarity. He says, teach me the ways of your statutes, and I will shall keep it to the end. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Evidently, that was his problem in the past. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Notice that. Make me. Force me. See? I want to do it, but I'm not so successful. Force me. You see? You can sort of feel what he's saying in his heart to God. Okay? Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Maybe that was a problem that he had. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. That's something that every one of us should say. And revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me. Notice he keeps asking to be revived, which means he must have been away. Revive me in your righteousness. Vav. Next section. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Notice he needs mercy. Your salvation according to your word. That means deliverance or rescue. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not your word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually. For how long? Forever and ever. And I will walk in liberty. I will seek your precepts. Notice these promises. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Notice all these promises that he's making. Get me out of here, and here's what I will do. Okay? Zion. Next section. Remember the word of your servant, to your servant, the covenant word, upon which you have caused me to hope. That was Israel's hope, that God would keep his promises, his covenant. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me, and because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I keep your precepts. Het. Next section. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Do you see that? He thought about his ways, and guess what that caused him to do? Turned his feet to your testimonies, verse 60. I made haste, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me. Notice he's got enemies who are really after him. But I've not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise up to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you. And that's a good thing, to fear the Lord. And of those who keep your precepts. That's where he feels that he is now. O earth, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Tet, next section. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Do you see that? You can tell what the problem is. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And that's what many of us have done, and it takes an affliction to get us back. But now I keep your word. You're good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts from my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. But I delight in your law. It's a good way to describe people who are sinners and people who are against you. They're as fat as grease. I'm going to remember that one. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. That's another statement. Look, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Can you say that? The scripture is more precious to you than all the money in the world? Or do you put your focus on the money? Yod. Next section. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. Hey, he's come back. See? When they see me. Because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. And that in faithfulness you've afflicted me. Notice he says God's the one who was ultimately responsible. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be toward me. That's your covenant loving kindness toward me. According to, to the word of your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I might live. See, he probably was pretty close to being dead. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will, there's a promise, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless according to your statutes. that I may not be ashamed. Verse 81, next section, cough. The soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? He's been searching God's word and said, when is he going to start comforting me? And he, every time he finds the passage, he's confused. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? Lord, how many days do I have? How many days will I have to go through this? How many days before you restore me? How many are the days of your servant when you will execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me. There's the situation he's in, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me! Exclamation point. They almost made an end to me on the earth. That's how close I was to death. But I did not forsake your precepts. In other words, that's when he came back. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed, next section, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures for all generations. God made a covenant promise. He said it. It's going to happen. It endures for all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. I will always come back to that covenant. For by them you've given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I've sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Meme, next section, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law, meaning your scriptures. In it, my meditation. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, your scriptures, make me wiser than my enemies. Good statement, good promise. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. In other words, he's always in the word. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There was nothing sweeter in those days than honey. They didn't have sugar like we do. But he says, you know, I would rather feed on your word than feed on honey. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Nun. Next section, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. He has free will, but he knows what he must do. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. And that probably means since he's come back, okay? Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. What a promise. Samech, next section, 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your word, the law. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I might live. Again, notice there's a threat of death. and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. In other words, I'm going to cling to the covenant, and don't let me down. Keep your end of the bargain. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Ayin, verse 121. I've done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, not according to justice, according to your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I might know your testimonies, I might know the scriptures. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Look at that one. How you like that one? It's time, Lord. It's time now. I've come back. Now it's time for you to do something. Look, it's time for you to act, O Lord. For they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments. How much do you love them? More than gold. Yes, more than 24 karat gold, fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Peh, 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. This is why a simple person can study God's word and meditate on it, and he will give them understanding, and they can be wiser than the most educated person from Harvard, Yale, or Cambridge universities. It gives understanding to the simple, 131. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for your commandments, your word. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And evidently, it probably did in the past. 134. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I might keep your precepts. Notice the word that. That gives a purpose statement. Get me out of this situation so that I might keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes. Look at this. Guy's crying his heart out. Why? Because men do not keep your law. Sadi, 137. Righteousness are you, O Lord, covenant God. The upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. The scripture is truth. That's what we believe. The scripture is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me. Look at the predicament that he was in. Yet your commandments are my delights. Clings to the word. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Gloff, 145. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Promise. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. Meaning rescue me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the morning, the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word. Now he studies the word. He hopes that God will keep his word, his covenant word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I might meditate on your word. How many of us do that? Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. In other words, justice for others. Draw near. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord. And all your commandments are truth. All your scripture is truth. Put it that way. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Resh, verse 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me. So there is affliction there. deliver me, rescue me. For I do not forget your law. It's always coming back. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. In other words, they have just moved away totally. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments, according to your covenant promises. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Think about that, Lord. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Sheen 161. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tav. Let me cry. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Those words, your promise. My lips shall utter praise. There's a promise. For you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak your word. There's a promise. For all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help. Reach out to me, Lord. For I have chosen your precepts. In other words, I've come back to your word. I long for your salvation, deliverance, rescue, O Lord, for your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and I will praise you. Let your judgments help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Psalm 119. Interesting just reading it out loud to a whole audience. We have to remember that when the early church met, now we're not talking about Israel, the early church met, they always met for a dinner. Now in those days they reclined like the Romans did, but the dinner lasted about 3 hours. And they would eat, talk about things, and then they would lift up a cup in honor of the Lord, and then the last hour and a half or so they ministered. And they sang songs, and they had teaching, and people ministered their gifts. And one of the things that they did is they read scripture aloud. So somewhere in a typical Christian service in the first century, there would have been a time when someone read, just like we did now, the entirety of Psalm 119 aloud. And in that context, it makes a lot more sense than when you sort of try to read it on your own and choose in certain parts and bits and pieces. Now, let me summarize what we've seen in this psalm. First of all, we see that in 21, at least, I counted at least 21 cases, the psalmist promises to obey the Lord. Okay? That's common to many of us. Okay? Evidently, he has moved away from the Lord and he's come back, and now he's studying the word, and he promises not only to study it, but to obey it 21 times. He claims that he's now meditating on the word. He says he delights in the word. He says he trusts God's word. He seeks God's word, and he loves God's word. That should be the attitude of every one of us in this room. We should love the scriptures. Now, we have more than the first five books of Moses. We now have the entirety of the Old Testament, plus we have all the New Testament scriptures, and we should love that word. He asked God to help him. He asked God to help him based on the fact that God has made a covenant. Did Jesus make a covenant to us? I will never what? Leave you? Do we believe that? We leave him and we forsake him. But we can, Christ has established a new covenant, just like Yahweh established an old covenant with the original people of God, Israel, Christ has established a covenant with his people. And we can cry out to God based on that covenant. And we can say, oh, Lord, help. Help me. Help me to keep your word. Revive me. Deliver me. Strengthen me through your word. Teach me your word. Teach me to understand your word. Yeah, teach me to understand your word. He was constantly saying, God, teach me to understand this. My eyes fail. I tried to figure it out. I'm not quite sure. Help me. We should be asking God to help us understand his word. He describes God's word as perfect in one place, blameless in another place, pure in another place, righteous in another place, truth in another place, and established forever. You can count on that word. You'll never be deceived by that word. It is an eternal truth that you can hang on to. He says the word gives life. He says the word provides wisdom. The word provides guidance. The word provides strength. That's why he loves that word more than gold or silver. Your gold and silver will let you down. By the way, it fluctuates every day if you watch the gold market and the silver market. Fluctuating every day. The scripture indicates there may come a day when gold and silver are not worth a loaf of bread. You may have to pull out a gold piece to buy a loaf of bread. And because it could lose its value, you know. And he says he loves us more than the sweetest delicacies of life, which for him would have been honey. That's how we should love God's word. And he calls it a treasure, God's word. That's Psalm 119. Next week we go to the Psalms of Ascent. And hopefully by the end of the summer, we will have finished Psalm 134, the last Psalm of Ascent. And then next year, the Lord willing, if I have another birthday, and you have another birthday, we will then finish 150 Psalms, and we will have been on our 10-year schedule. And I want to thank you for the. How many of you started out with Psalm 1 in the class? Let's see if there's a few of you. One of the things I asked you to do was stay alive until we got through that, and you've all done it. So just one more year, let's hold out. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is indeed a delight. It is a delight to teach it. It's a delight to preach it. It's a delight to read it. It's a delight to understand it. But most important, it's a delight to obey it. We thank you for your promises, which are sure and everlasting, that will never let us down. Oh, Lord, help us to keep our eyes and minds and hearts focused on the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen.